Welcome to What Would Rob Do? A guide to life's daily indignities. I'm Mike Pesca.
And I'm Rob Sachs.
So, Rob, today we're going to talk brackets, and I don't mean home repair.
No, it's the NCAA tournament March Madness time, and tomorrow night kicks off the first game. And
I refuse to recognize that game.
Was it the play-in game? Or was it called?
No, they call it the opening game, but I refuse to recognize it.
Okay, so I guess Thursday is when all the real madness begins.
Yes.
And hopefully by then I'll filled out my bracket so I can get in on your pool, which you've invited me to. Thank you.
Yes.
So, but I've been a perennial loser in filling out my brackets, and I think I've identified a few things, so maybe we can walk through where I've gone wrong.
Okay.
One is
you like 16 seeds over the ones across the board.
Well, I always feel bad because there's these seedings, and I'm thinking, oh, I have to pick some upsets. So inevitably, I throw in, you know, a 10 beating a 7 or a 13 winning
beating
out.
Beating a 4.
Beating a 4. Yeah. I can do math, too.
Yeah. See, your problem is that the 13s don't often beat the 4s and the 10s don't often beat the 7s. But for some reason, the 12s do often beat the 5s. That's where you should be picking your upsets, my friend.
Oh, okay. So for the instance, maybe this year, are you thinking Cornell, who's a 12 seed, could win?
I definitely like Cornell, and I saw them play two games. But if they weren't playing Temple. Temple, and not only is Temple a good team, Fran Dunphy, who I know you know, is a Penman.
That's right.
He used to coach the Quakers. Now he coaches Temple, so it's like, you know, 7 miles away or whatever it is. But his former assistant coach is the Cornell coach. So does that mean the teacher will put a hurt on the pupil, or will he outstrip his master?
In the past, when Fran Dunphy was coaching Penn and they were making it to the tournament, I would always, of course, say, oh, I got to go for Penn, you know, my alma mater. I got to have them in there. And inevitably,
silliness.
These Ivy League teams would be overmatched by the manpower. I mean, they could shoot from the outside, but once the game got physical, it was not even close. So.
Always worn down, right. So 30 minutes into the game, you're like, hey, we're within six, and then the final score would be, 14. So
here's what happens to me inevitably. I know maybe half the teams, and maybe I've heard something. Maybe I've been watching, like, the past week when they've all been playing.
Yeah, you have too much. You have a little knowledge, and that's a little knowledge is a dangerous thing,
right? I have a little bit of knowledge. Perennial
good
people.
But half the times you have knowledge of only, like, one of the two teams playing.
Exactly.
Like, you might know something about New Mexico and say, therefore, since I know something about them, they will certainly beat Montana. And they probably will, but, you know.
Is that a trap, though? Should I?
I think that's as much a trap as what Calipari was throwing at people when he was with Memphis. Yeah, yeah. I think as soon as you cross the half-court line, they got two guys on you and you're desperately calling for timeout.
Because what kills me is when I fill out these brackets and then, oh, somebody's girlfriend fills out, I don't know anybody. I'm just going to go willy-nilly. And they have pretty colors on their team. And then they beat me, and then I feel like an idiot. And then I go home and I'm like, I can't believe that just happened. I am shamed.
The thing is, there are these really useful numbers next to every team. And if you just pick the lower number every time, I almost guarantee you by the time the Final Four comes around, you'll be like, hey, I got a shot at this thing. Like, that always happens. And they've done, this year more than ever, they've done really good research where they have a lot of history. And they went back, ESPN did this, and New York Times reported on it today. And they said, let's compare experts against just picking the lower seed or the lower number, right? And the guy who is the robot who just said, if a 1 plays a 3, I will take a 1. If a 4 plays a 5, I will take the 4. The lower number guy always did better than all these experts. Now, the guy who wins the eventual pool will get a couple of upsets right. But if you want to pick one or two upsets the whole time and then just kind of stick to the favorites, if your favorites are right and if you get your one or two upsets right, you're going to do well in the pool. Because, you know, it's usually weighted so that the further you progress in the tournament, the more points you get. So just by having the right number ones going to the final and winning it all, you have a much better chance of winning it than going all crazy.
So if I pick my upsets, it should definitely be in the first round, not like the third or fourth round. Or
well,
something.
Look, there are a couple people who a few years ago had George Mason in the Final Four. Like, I think out of ESPN's million people, there were like six of them, you know? So, like, if you're a six in a million, yeah, that was smart. But normally, you know, if you're in a pool with 30, 40, 80 other people, you don't have to go so bold. Just be solid. Of the 32 opening games, if you could get 27 right, that's good. Just go for that.
Now, I am going head-to-head with you, Mike, as you have invited me to join your bowl.
Well, I'm not
going
to tell you my one secret upset. That's the thing.
Well, that's good. I don't even want to know, because this is all about the strategy for filling out. I'm not asking for picks, per se.
Right.
But are other people a little intimidated? I mean, you've been covering these things. You obviously know the teams more than their colors.
Matter. You watch these guys. You watch, like, ESPN, and first of all, they all take it seems like I'm contradicting myself. They all take the number one against the number two and the number one against the two. And that, I guess, is the smart way to do it, and they don't get embarrassed. But that's not interesting. So I saw Jay Billis on ESPN actually took Cornell to win two games in the tournament, which is pretty interesting. So, yeah, no, I don't think expertise has or knowing college basketball ever helps anyone fill out their brackets.
So do you – I mean, knowing what you know, still vote with, like, you know, if you have a team from your childhood that you liked or your alma mater or your best friends.
Well, if that team happens to be Duke, Syracuse, Kentucky, or Kansas, you're in luck. If that team happens to be East Tennessee State, then you're screwed.
But you don't vote with your heart. Are you a heartless voter, Mike?
Well, I do. I mean, I think maybe the best piece of advice, know who you're in the pool with. Know geographically where those people are from. Know what conferences they'll be biased towards. So these guys who I invited you into the pool with me, they're mostly East Coast guys. There is a lot of Philly representation. There also seems to be, I've done this year after year after year, they tend to like the ACC. So maybe you want to take Duke to lose relatively early just because, you know, you figure ACC fans will take Duke to go far.
Oh, because, yeah, I was in a pool one time in L.A., and all these Texas people were in it, and they were all picking Texas.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is moronic. So sometimes, you're right, it's good to know who you're up against. So, great, I'm against all these other Philly guys who are going to be voting with their hearts. So now I'm going to have to go against what I want to do and not vote for Villanova.
But I think a few of them are Ivy League guys, too. That's why Temple Cornell, it's like, they got it's the double whammy if either of those two teams were playing anyone else.
Right. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to go for it, and I'm going to go with the bracket seedings and not try to be as fancy as I was in years past.
Smart. And smart. You'll stay in it. You'll be interested up until the last weekend of play. I guarantee it.
And that's when you'll blow me.
Not good in Alaska, Hawaii, or the continuous 48.
Is that when you're going to blow me away, Mike?
Yeah, it'll be around then. No, you'll see my pool. It's like, wait, I thought Mike said to take the number one and two seeds. And I'll be going all Northern Iowa in the Final Four up in the Hizzoo.
Oh, okay, great. Well, I'm very much looking forward to taking you on, Mike. Thank you so much for all this great information, and good luck this year.
My pleasure. You too.
And you've been listening to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Daily Indignities. I'm Rob Sachs.
And I'm Mike Pesca.